All right, just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 for our message today. Amen. Thank you for singing that good song. And I appreciate Brother Matt filling in for us this morning and helping us out in that. And appreciate Brother Jim's mom and sister being able to be with us today. Glad they're here. Amen. And hope they make themselves at home in the house of God. Amen. And hope we all do. It's been a strange week, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about things going on politically. We're not here for politics. We're here for the Lord. And that's what we need more than anything, to be honest with you. This time of uproar and time of confusion, we need the help of the Lord. And so, but we need to pray for our nation. Amen. We definitely need to be in prayer for our nation. Divided more than it has been probably in our lifetime, and I didn't think it could have got more divided, to be honest with you. I couldn't hardly see how it could have gotten more divided, but it has. It's just like wickedness. You think when men have found the most despicable sin they could be involved in, they'll find something worse than that. They will. And so it's just a sign of the times, amen, and I believe Jesus is coming. I don't know when he's coming, certainly not setting a date, but I don't have my anchors down too tight either, because I know he's coming. Amen. And I'm glad that he is. Acts chapter number 20, and I'll begin reading here. Let me start in verse number 17. There's a verse here that I want to get to that I mentioned will be a theme verse that I'd like for us to learn this year. I'd like for you to memorize this verse. And I mentioned I'd like to get some of you to do that maybe tonight, see if somebody has that verse memorized and would like to quote that. Verse number 21 is the verse I'm alluding to. But look at verse number 17. The Bible said, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, here's our verse, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we testify. Doesn't matter who we're testifying to. Amen. They need repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry that I have, or which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I'm going to stop reading there, of course, that from verse 17 to the end of the chapter of Acts chapter number 20. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us this morning. Brother Kuhn, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, Lord, again, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Lord, I thank you for your word.
Thank you, Lord, yes.
Clear you make it. Lord, we get so tangled in other things.
Yes.
God, you show us our priorities. You show
thank you,
us
Lord.
How to serve you. Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart. I
yes,
pray,
Lord.
That you would help Pastor today. As he
help us, Lord Jesus.
Lord, give him the exact words we need and give us hearts that are hungry to hear it. I pray you'd change us. Well, thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And thank you for that prayer. Amen. Well, there's a lot in this. This is, I know, familiar text to you. Most of us know it probably, but I believe it has special relevance to us today in this hour in which we're living. And I want to make a few introductory comments and bring you up to the text and then give you my title and my points that I'd like to bring out if I can by the help of the Lord. You know that Paul, the apostle, well, let me back up and say this. The book of Acts is a history book. Luke wrote it in a history keeping form, and he tells us about the people and the places and the actions that are being done. Well, what he's telling us about here, Paul and his crew are on a journey headed to Jerusalem. He thinks this is going to be his last time. He's been told that he's going to be bound, and he's going to go to Caesar, going to see Caesar. He'll hear that, clearly later on, but he knows that they're saying that bonds await him. And so he never expects to see these people in Ephesus again. He thinks this is his last time that he'll be going through there. Now, he had experienced a great ministry there in Ephesus. He had overseen a strong and vibrant church be established and actually even reach out far and wide in the ministry of the gospel. And he knows that this church will be used in the future in days to come. However, the fact that he's leaving and expecting that he'll never see them again, he does have some concern for their future. And so he calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and to assemble together, and then he addresses them concerning his own personal behavior. He reminds them how that he had done, and then he encourages them with some additional diligence, that they need to be very diligent, and they might stabilize the church, and that they might maintain a pure church that is pure in its doctrinal teachings that might be established. He had established it that way. He wanted them to keep it that way in the future. Amen. And so he gives them these warnings. And verse number 28 is where that I'm going to mainly be dealing with. Verse number 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." But look at verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord on this thought. The wolves are prowling and howling. The wolves are prowling and howling. Amen. I talk about the church at Ephesus being a great church. Personally, I believe that this church, Madisonville Baptist Temple, doing business as Island Ford Baptist Church, has been a great church down through history. It's been here for 40 plus years now. The radio station's been here 40 plus years now, amen, and had an outstanding ministry in these years that it's been here. And it has been established on the preaching of the Word of God, amen. Wasn't established on singing, even though we have a radio ministry. Wasn't established on entertainment, amen. Was established on the preaching of the Word of God. Matter of fact, in our the Preacher's Fellowship this past Monday, I'm telling you, it was a blessing to me. The whole thing was a blessing to me. But one thing that blessed me, Brother David Knopfsinger, referring to Brother Hall and about how that he had made a mark on this church, and it's known far and wide that this church had adopted or had assumed a lot of his personality in the fact that it's known as a shouting church. He said, if you can't worship here, then you have a hard time worshiping anywhere. I say, amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Now, we're not as fired up maybe as we have been, or maybe as perhaps we should be. Amen. Perhaps that's right. But I'll say this. I appreciate the fact that he said that it's a place known that worship takes place. And he talked about how he didn't know how it was before Brother Hall came, but he knew something about that it had assumed his personality and his long years of pastorate here as a place where running and shouting was no stranger. And I think that is very true and very honorable. And I'm glad that Brother Knopfsinger noticed it and mentioned it. But I don't think that the emphasis of this church, even under Brother Hall, was on shouting. Brother Hall's known as a preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. He's known as a strong preacher of the gospel. Amen. And the preaching of the word of God, that is what produces worship. That's what produces running and shouting. That's what produces joy in the heart of a child of God. Amen. It is the preaching of the word of God. And Brother Hall stood faithfully and dogmatically for the preaching of the King James Bible all these years that he has been here. Amen. And I'll say that preaching, his and others, that preaching is what has established this church. Amen. Yet that preaching has caused some people to decide to move on down the road. Amen. Where maybe it might not be so hot or hard or pointed. But can I say to you, that's been a blessing. Not a curse to the church. And I'm not saying that I'm glad that anybody moves on, but I'm saying this, that the preaching's what needs to thin the crowd or make the crowd. Amen. It needs to be the preaching of the Word of God. And if it is, if people do move on because of the preaching of the Word of God, of the truth, then the church won't be hindered because of people that don't want the truth moving away. Amen. Amen. Now, from what little that I know and have heard, I don't know any of the former pastors. Well, I met one of them years ago, but anyway, I don't know any of them, but the little bit that I've heard and know about those things that I've heard, Dwayne Rutherford and Brother Bob Lamb just passed away a few weeks ago, but those two men, both of them passed away now, both of those two men were known as powerful preachers in their day and in their ministry while they were here. Amen. And again, I say, even though the church has a large radio ministry and has expanded that through the years under Brother Hall, and God has blessed in that, even though we've got that ministry, we've not got carried up in the singing and that kind of crowd, the power even of the radio is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Now, we need to maintain a steady diet of Bible preaching and Bible study. That's what's built this church to this point. Amen. I don't feel adequate myself, and I mean that. It's not false humility. It's the truth. I don't feel adequate in myself to be charged. I didn't when they called me and asked me that I'd be charged with filling this pulpit. But I don't doubt that God called me and placed me here. And so I think that I have to hold up my end of the bargain. I'd ask you to pray for me on that. Amen. That I might honorably and faithfully proclaim the truth of God's word without fear or favor. Amen. Amen. Now, my sermon for today is not to try to vindicate myself and my ministry, although Paul did that here. And so I don't guess it would be wrong. Paul vindicated his own ministry. He said, you know how I was. I didn't take anything from you. I worked. And he goes through all those things saying about himself. I'm not trying to do that for myself. And it's not my point to vindicate myself. Neither is it my point to cast aspersions at other people or to call names of other people at the moment. But my point is to help us get back and take this opportunity to warn us there are wolves. There always have been and there always will be. Paul said they're going to come. And they do come periodically. Amen. Wolves that come. And so I want to show you the present danger. We're in a very present danger. Amen. And show you the biblical way of dealing with it. Amen. And so as I said, I want to point out that verse number 28 boldly declares that Jesus Christ shed his blood for this little flock of sheep. Amen. He purchased the church with his own blood. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Jesus loves it. Amen. He died for it. And I believe he will fight for it. Amen. I believe he will. Jesus left his church with the gift of a pastor and preachers to confirm them, to instruct them, and to perfect them. That's found in the book of Ephesians, by the way. Amen. He gave gifts unto men, and those gifts is the ministries and the offices of the preaching of the Word of God that might strengthen them, confirm them, and perfect them. Amen. Instructing them in the way more perfectly. Well, the Apostle Paul tells these men in Acts 20 and verse number 28 that they need to take heed and they need to be careful that they oversee the flock. Amen. That means they lead them, but it also means that they guide them and they look out for them. Amen. But he says for them to be sure to feed them. Amen. To feed them. And so as preachers and feeders of the flock, we got to be careful to maintain a healthy Bible diet ourselves and a healthy Bible diet for the sheep that's in our watch care. Amen. Now there's 3 points and I want to deal with these 3 things if I can this morning, while we're here. Number one, I want to talk about the confiscation of our weapons. I'm not talking about the ATF coming and taking our firearms. I'm talking about the confiscation of our spiritual weapons. Amen. Now, we can look around and just look around in Christendom. And in the interest of trying to draw more people, the interest of trying to have more people sitting in the pews, many churches across America have decided to not spend a great deal of time on Bible preaching. They've decided to spend their time and their energy rather on diminishing doctrine, weakening down doctrine. Amen. I can't help but think when I pass by a church that says traditional service. Well, that's what we have, traditional service. And contemporary service, that's what we have. We're right here at this time, right now. This is contemporary, right today. Amen. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to appeal to a couple different crowds. Can I tell you, you're going to have confusion when you get 2 different kinds of crowds in there, 2 different kinds of things going on, and God's not, and either temporary or traditional or contemporary, God's not one or the other of those. God's all in all, amen. And I don't believe God's rocking and rolling, jamming with the lamb, amen. I just don't believe that. I don't believe God's rapping. Amen. I don't believe God's, I just don't believe that a lot of the stuff is going for quote unquote worship today is of God. But what it is trying to, and by the way, they're building up more and more and more on the entertainment idea because you got to entertain them to keep them. But you're not feeding them. You're not feeding them when all you're doing is entertaining them. Amen. And so you're keeping them, but you're keeping them in an emancipated state and they're sickly. Amen. And so, they have the idea that doctrine, I believe, has got a bad rap. It has, I don't know how long ago, I remember several years ago was in a preacher's fellowship in North Carolina and a young man got up to preach and, I say young man, he was older than I was then, but he's about the same age I am now, so he was a young man. And this young man got up to preach and he made the statement. He said, we need to quit preaching doctrine and just preach Jesus. He said, doctrine divides. And, I said, Dad, what is he, how do you preach Jesus and don't preach doctrine? How does that happen? Now, I'm not preaching denominationalism. Amen. I don't believe we need to be primarily teaching denominationalism. We need to be preaching Bible doctrine. Amen. And we ought to be what we are because of what the Bible says. Amen. But what has happened, they've given doctrine a bad rap as something that divides and never builds a church. But our scripture tells us that it is the Word of God that will build you up. It is the Word of God that will establish you. It is the word of God that will strengthen you against the assault of the enemy. Amen. And against the howls and the prowls of the wolves that are out there. And so it's become believed in a lot of Christendom that doctrine needs to be removed or at least reduced, that the church might be more neutral and the church might be more non-denominational, and therefore it will appeal to a greater population of society. More people in the pew means more money in the plate. More money in the plate means greater so-called success. Not God's way of looking at it. But that's the world's way of looking at it. Amen. And I'll say this, that tragically, it's not just the quote-unquote non-denominational, it's not just the Protestants that are doing that kind of thing. Far too many Baptists are doing the same thing. The temptation among Baptist churches across our land, even Baptist churches that have in the past stood firm on the Bible, stood strong on the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Watch night service, I preached with Brother Eric Vick. Brother Eric Vick's grandpa was a member of the church that G.B. Vick pastored. He was baptized by J. Frank Norris, Brother Vick's grandpa. But did you know that those two great churches, J. Frank Norris and G.B. Vick, those two churches that stood such powerhouses of doctrine back in just in the 1900s are today empty things. They're shells. They have no truth, no reality, no God in there. Amen. And what happened? The wolves got in. They started tearing things down. They started letting down things. Amen. And so I'm afraid that's the problem even among Baptist churches. And all it takes, now listen to me, all it takes is for leadership to downplay inconvenient doctrine. I won't say that nobody likes to make enemies. I think some people do. But most people, I should say normally sane people, don't like just to make people mad. Would rather not deal with hard issues. Amen. We'd rather not. But sometimes you have to. Amen. And matter of fact, that's what Paul's telling these people. Listen, he said, you better look out. You better keep your eye open because I know what's going to come down the road. And he said, you better be ready to feed the flock. Amen. Now, listen, excuse me. It's not just up to me to be, I ought to be able to spot the wolf. I ought to be able to warn you about the wolf. I ought to do my best to try to help you to avoid the wolf, but I also ought to give you enough strength that you can avoid the wolf on your own. Amen. That you can be able to stand on your own two feet and move along, that you don't need me to swoop down and rescue you all the time. Amen. Amen. And so that you'll be able to stand on your own two feet and be able to move along when the enemy does come. When you hear the howl of the enemy, you know it's time to move. Amen. And to take a stand. Well, I'm afraid that a lot of these leaders then downplay inconvenient doctrine. They let up on the preaching. Again, they focus more on the entertainment or the socialization. And soon, the King James Bible is replaced by some other book. The name Baptist is dropped from the sign and the literature. And the teaching is watered down. Amen. Lord, help us. I go back to my time in North Carolina. There was a church there that... It was a Southern Baptist church, and I'd known several of the pastors, and had been a good-sized church at one time. They got a pastor in, and he decided that he wanted to change Bibles. And they did. And then he decided that he wanted to take the name Baptist off the sign. And the church split. And a lady told me, this is what she said, and Melissa knows exactly who I'm talking about because she'll remember the conversation. She said, you know, we went along with him when he took our Bible away from us. But she said, well, you had to draw the line somewhere. She said, when he took the name Baptist off the sign, that was just too far. And I thought, what good is the name Baptist on the sign if you don't have a Bible in your hand? What good is the name church on the sign if you don't have a Bible being preached from the pulpit? Amen. What good is any of that? Don't let them take your Bible away from you. Don't let them, if to take the Bible away, just go ahead and take the name off the sign. Amen. Just Amen. Jump all the way in there. But anyway, here's the thing. When they start eliminating or de-emphasizing doctrine, it sounds like a clever plan. We'll get more people. But it's plain that it comes back to bite the churches when the wolf comes to attack. Paul said the wolf's coming. You need a weapon when the wolf comes. You need a weapon. What is our weapon? The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Your weapon's not your intellect. It's not how smart you are, how quick you can think, how smooth your talk. Your weapon's the Bible. The King James Bible's your weapon. And so we can't lay our weapon down. We can't let them confiscate our weapons from us. Amen. The wolf will come to attack. And the Apostle Paul warned that the wolves are on the prowl. Amen. They are always around. They will always be an enemy. They will never be a friend. Amen. I've read that they say that sheep are actually so dumb that some sheep, that if a wolf comes up acting non-threatening, that sheep have been known to lay down beside of a wolf that's laying there still. You know why? Because they're deceived. That wolf's not acting like a wolf. By the way, that's the danger. Amen. It's the danger is that they're always on the prowl and they are always an enemy. But many times they lay low. Many times they lay out of sight. But one day, sooner or later, they will mount an attack. Amen. Amen. So, bluntly speaking, when doctrine is stripped out of a church, it leaves that church weaponless. It leaves that church powerless. It leaves that church defenseless in the face of savage wolves. Amen. So I talked about the confiscation of weapons. Let me get my second point and I talk about the conception of the wolves. Who are these wolves? Can you see them? Can you get a conception of them? Who are these wolves that Paul is warning us about? By the way, it's not just Paul's idea. These are the words of the Holy Ghost that inspired the Apostle Paul to pin down for our edification. Amen. Who are these wolves? And you think about it, we can name a lot of different things. Are these wolves the dangerous people that physically attack Christians? Just think about Nero. You ought to read a little bit about Nero, what a wicked man that he was. They say that he'd kill Christians just for the cruelty of it. He just enjoyed it. He had a drive, that's what we'd call it, a drive, a road system. Of course, the Romans were known for their road system. He had a road going to this one place that every few feet, they had a certain place, they'd have a pole on that. And each night they would strap Christians to those poles. They'd pour tar and pitch over them. And then they'd set them on fire just to light the streets. Not because they'd done anything wrong, just because he is such a cruel individual. Maybe they're wolves like the Catholic Church that is, amen, that has raided houses. I think about the Waldenses on Christmas Eve at midnight in the midst of a winter storm in those mountains, those Valdoy Mountains, and those Catholics mounted an attack and raided those homes and hundreds were murdered and thousands were made to flee and mamas with their children were made to run out into the storm, their houses burned and their property confiscated. I'd say those are wolves. But that's not necessarily the wolves that Paul's warning us about. Amen. How about the wolves in the 21st century, like the Communist Party? Persecuted Christians while encouraging atheism. By the way, they're doing that in television, public school, and over the internet. In America. Communists are doing that. Amen. Attacking Christians, persecuting Christians, and encouraging atheism. How about this? How about the arsonists that burned St. John's Church in Washington, D.C.? By the way, not in this latest riot, but in the BLM riot that not much was said about. Arsonist burned the church. Why did he burn the church? Because he hates God. Amen. Now that'd be a wolf. I'd say that'd be a wolf, but that's still not the one that he's talking about. Who are these wolves? I go on and on. How about the wolves of the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry? You remember that? It was on our news not all that long ago. They attacked a Christian baker. They fined that Christian baker, finally run him out of business. A Christian baker, because he wouldn't bake same-sex marriage cakes. Yeah. Amen. Or florists. We read about that. We've heard about that. Florists that have been run out of business or have been assaulted because they wouldn't do a same-sex wedding party. Are those wolves? Sure, they're wolves, but it might surprise you. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about enemy from the outside coming in. He's talking about people that appear, they know what we believe, and yet they don't have it in their heart. They're a different character. And they come with the attack, the idea to attack from stealth. Amen? Now, our nation needs to be warned about these things, the Communist Party, the Catholic Church, and all these. They need to be warned about all those things. They're still not our friend, by the way. I don't trust a bear or the Pope. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't. Don't trust them. And I think we'd be wise not to. But again, it's not a political message. I'm not preaching to the nation. Those things are needful. But I'm preaching to the church. The greatest enemy of the church is not some foreign entity coming in. The greatest enemy of the church is somebody warping your mind and twisting your doctrine away from you and making you believe something that is not true.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't want to diminish the persecution going around the world. I don't want to diminish that. It's true. There are regimes and entities that persecute and attack Christians. But all they can do is destroy the body. They can't damn souls. But false doctrine damns souls. Destroys churches and damns souls. Amen. Well, it's bad when a church is attacked physically. But we recognize that generally. The danger Paul's talking about here is the danger of wolves entering in among us that appear to be sheep rather than wolves. They say, you know, we're not really that much different than you. We're along the same lines, and they try to appear as if they're in agreement with us, and their idea the whole time is to confuse us. Their whole idea the whole time is to get us comfortable, and then they'll slit the throat when they get the opportunity. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe it is wolves who come in to twist, distort, and pervert Christian doctrine. They're false teachers. They may look friendly. They may seem pious. They may act faithful. But their goal all the time is to pull out a little young lamb, get it alone, and attack that sheep and destroy their soul. Amen. Don't make any mistake about it. Listen, what I'm preaching today is powerful. And I'm not talking about one person. I'm not talking about one situation. I'm talking about it's a constant thing we got to be on the alert for. Amen. Blatant false teaching usually is obvious, but the most dangerous enemy is one that is dressed in sheep's clothing, subtly twisting the doctrines of Christianity. They know, they can quote Bible verses. I'd almost guarantee you that probably any Mormon can quote more Bible than probably anybody in this building. Most Mormons can quote more Bible than most of us in this building. There's probably a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses that know more about the doctrines and the twist. Now, they wouldn't be quoting King James Bible probably. They'd be quoting their own version because they chose their version because it translated words the way they wanted to hear them translated. But they know how to twist and turn. You know why? Because they've studied it. They've prepared it. They practice it. Amen. Why? Because they want to go in and pull people out of what they believe. Amen. So they come in dressed in sheep's clothing and they're more difficult to stop. When a church has diminished its doctrine or when it has removed its doctrine altogether for the sake of not offending anybody, all of a sudden they are defenseless. They've set themselves up for failure. Amen. Now, and I said this in the Bible study. I told Jacob, one of the reasons I didn't want to do it on Saturday night, I didn't want all that in my mind come Sunday morning. He said, it'll be there. And he's right, it's there. Amen. I hate to admit Jacob's right. But at least I've done something Elizabeth's never done. Amen. I'm kidding. Amen. But this is what I said to him, that one of the things that we gotta deal with in this is that the enemy Praise on those, especially young sheep, because what we do, if we're not careful, we're, our grandpa believed this way, so it's just easy for us to believe this way. This is what my grandpa believed. This is what my daddy believed. This is what all my families believed. So it's easy for us to believe this way and not know why. Not have a verse, not have a portion of scripture. Amen. And if we're not careful, we get lazy. We don't read our Bible. We don't study our Bible. We don't think on those things. Do us good, do you good to learn your Bible. Amen. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. Amen. But learn it as well. Amen. And so by discarding the Bible, by singing these feel-good, undoctrinal songs, they have thrown out the discernment that the Word of God gives. And that discernment which would have protected them from the enemy and the wolves when they came to devour. Amen. But let me warn us, this warning, I'll get to my last point in a minute. Wolves seldom attack a whole flock of sheep. Seldom. They get in packs sometimes, but what they do is they look for one that's a little bit out from the others. They look for one that doesn't hardly seem to fit in or be as close as the others are. They pick out a lone sheep, perhaps a weak lamb, or particularly a young, unsteady lamb. Amen. They try to separate them off from the others, cut them off from the others, so then they can destroy and devour that sheep. Amen. Amen. Most of the time, the wolf is afraid of the shepherd. Most of the time. Because the shepherd could possibly recognize the danger that that wolf poses. The shepherd is to know his sheep, by the way. If he sees one that recognizes that's not one of mine, he might make a notice of it. So he's usually afraid of that shepherd. But the unsuspecting, unsteady lamb might not recognize the danger that's there. So I've talked about the confiscation of our weapons, and I've talked about the conception of the wolves. Let me give you my last point, and that is the combat of the warriors. Again, verse number 28, Paul called for these men to take a stand. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves individually, and then, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So I need to be careful for myself, and I need to be careful for you. You need to be careful for yourself, and you need to be careful for the rest of the flock. Amen. I encourage you. I've said this I don't know how many times. I encourage you to pray every day for every member of the church. Amen. I'd ask you to put me at the top of the list. Amen. But I'd also ask you to include your name on that list. Perhaps at the very top, be honest with you, because he said, watch out for yourself. Take heed to yourselves. And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock or the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I say thank God for pastors. And I'm not bragging on myself, but the position. Thank God for pastors. Amen. Amen. What I preach, talking about the danger that's out there, might make you feel uneasy. And by the way, that might be a good thing, not a bad thing, that you recognize that there's danger. Don't be caught off guard, but maybe you're concerned about it. What can I do about it? What can I do that I not be caught off guard? Let me say this. Number one, if you have ears to hear, please listen. Amen. When the preacher's preaching, he's teaching. Amen. I've heard men say, my counseling is done from the pulpit. I'm not against counseling somebody. If they need private counsel, I understand that. But a lot of people wouldn't need so much private counsel if they'd be faithful to the services. Amen. Amen. A lot of people wouldn't need so much private, maybe even Bible study, if they'd be faithful to the services. I'm just saying, be there. Listen. Pay attention. Open your Bible. Study along with us. Amen. Amen. Search the scriptures, whether or not these things are so. Amen. Open your eyes and open your ears. Amen. And take heed. That's what he said. Notice that. Verse 28, the very first words. Take heed. Wake up. That's what he's saying. Wake up. It's not good enough just to be sitting in the pew. You need to be awake in the pew. Amen. Amen. You need to be paying attention. And I'm not just talking about physically. Of course you don't need to be physically asleep, but you don't need to be emotionally or mentally asleep either. You need to be alert. at what's going on. Amen. Amen. Need to be alert about it. So, keep your eyes open, your ears open. Amen. Notice our text. God had Brother Paul not only talk about alertness, but he commends them to the word, or to God and to the word of his grace. Look at verse number 32. Look at that. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. We have a weapon. And Paul said, listen, Paul said, there's a wolf out there. You run to your sword. Amen. You run to your sword. As we might would have said in the South, get your guns. Amen. There's a wolf in the yard. Get the gun. There's a fox in the hen house. Get the gun. Amen. Don't say, call the preacher. And I'm not saying you can't call me. I want to be on call. I want to be faithful. Amen. And if you call me, I'm not going to fuss at you for calling me. But study your Bible. Have your weapon at hand that you can resist the evil when it comes your way. Amen. Amen. So, he says, get to God and get to the Word of God. Amen. That is what and who that can defend us. That is what and who that will build us up. Amen. We don't spot the wolves by our own intellect. We don't challenge them with our own intellect. We spot them and challenge them with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. When we are commended to the Word of God, as he did, he said, I'm giving you over to God, but I'm giving you to God's Word. You know what happens when we get to God's Word and we get all wrapped up in God's Word? We start gaining some knowledge. We get built up in knowledge and wisdom and spiritual discernment. Amen. I've heard people say for years, and I think they're right, there's less spiritual discernment now than I think there's ever been in history. Very little spiritual discernment. When I say history, the Dark Ages was pretty bad. Now we went through the Enlightenment. Now we're at postmodernism, they call it, when everything that they learned or said really doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing. Oh, my God, anyway, I can't get in that. They make all these arguments that are nonsensical. To destroy, what they're trying to do is destroy the foundations on which we stand. Really, that's what they're trying to do. But why is there so little spiritual discernment of people in churches? I mentioned in the Bible study, they say that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses get more converts out of Baptist churches than any other denomination in America. You know why? Because Baptist people don't read their Bible, study their Bible, know their Bible. That's right. Well, we just say, well, I'm Baptist, it means I'm going to heaven. Not necessarily. Definitely not necessarily. It means I'm strong in the Bible. What do you believe? Well, I believe that Bible. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, whatever it says, I believe it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, the Bible will give us the strength. The Bible will give us the discernment that we need. When we get captivated by the Word of God, that will give us the strength we need to stand. What is it? When we get captivated by the Word of God, that is nothing more than just good old-fashioned sound doctrine. Amen. The teaching, biblical teaching. That's what doctrine means, by the way. It is teaching of the Bible. Amen. Now, I'll say this, and I'm moving on. I talked about myself, and I said I'm not to vindicate myself, but I looked up some things just to see. I've been here a little over 6 years now. Could you believe that I've preached over 600 sermons from this pulpit? Not counting over 1,500 sermons that I preached on the radio, daily broadcast. I preached away from here. I've preached, you know, revivals and missions conferences and Bible conferences and different funerals and weddings and different things that's not counting that. And I'm not saying that to brag. I've written notes just like I got here. I've got over 3,400 pages of notes I've made since I came to this church. 6 years. I've read over 265 books since I came to this church. Why did I do all that? Well, one thing, because I don't have to work a job. Thank God y'all have liberated me from the workforce. And so I feel obligated to put in all I can to try to give you as much good information as I can. Amen. I don't want to be the most educated preacher there was, but I sure don't want to be an ignorant preacher. I want to be as educated as I can. I want to know what's going on as much as I can. But I want to be as close to God. And I want our people educated. But I want them close to God as they can be. Amen. Amen. So I'm just telling you that I take it serious. The study of the Word of God. Most time on Sunday, on Saturday, from the time I get up till up this morning, it was after 2 o'clock before I went to bed. Preparing, trying to get things. You say, why does it take so long? Because I'm so hard to get it all together. Amen. But I want to have it together as much as I can to be able to try to encourage the sheep because I take it serious. I take it serious. Now, we come to church. We do come for fellowship. We do come for friendship. But you can have fellowship and friendship out somewhere else in society. But you can't get doctrine like you need to get when you come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. So I'm saying we come to church for the preaching, the doctrine. We don't come to church for entertainment reasons. Amen. We don't come to church for societal reasons, sociological reasons. We come to church that we might be commended to God and to the word of His grace. Amen. We need a steady diet of the word of God. I don't just need to tell you about my experiences. I need to preach to you the Bible. Yeah. Nothing wrong with putting in some experiences, but that shouldn't be the main thing. Amen. Stories are fine, but some that you've heard this, some sermons are like skyscraper, just one story after another. We need the Word of God. We need to be strengthened in the Word of God. Amen. You know what it'll do? It'll keep us, it will root us and ground us and keep us from being blown around by every wind of doctrine. Amen. And there's millions of strange doctrines. You type in a religious word on the computer and you're going to find all kinds of foolishness out there. And some of them look pretty good. And some of them have a whole lot right. They got a lot wrong too. Amen. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. So anyway, I'm saying take notice. That's what we come to Sunday school for. That's what Sunday morning preaching's about. That's what Sunday night preaching's about. That's what midweek prayer service and Bible study's about. That's what extra Bible study's about when we do that. That's what Bible conferences are about. That's what revival meetings are about. Amen. We're interested in studying the Word of God and getting more of the Word of God applied in our heart. It's not just so that you can say, well, the preacher preaches another sermon on this subject. No. It's that we can gain some information that'll help us to ward off the enemy when he attacks, because the wolves are howling and they are prowling. Amen. Amen. So, you need to hear the truth. You need to receive the truth. You need to know our Christian doctrine. Amen. If we don't know what we stand for, you've heard it, we'll fall for anything. It's true. Amen. So, I say pray for me, pray for our Sunday school teachers. Don't become lethargic at the Word of God. Just, duh, I'm here. Search the Scriptures. Read it like you'd read a love letter from your honey. Amen. Well, it's husband or wife. You say, I ain't seen one of them in years. It's probably right. But read it with interest. By the way, it is a love letter from one that loves us dearer than anybody ever did. Amen. Amen. Read it. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Be excited about the Bible that Jesus talked about. Search the Scriptures. That word search means ransack it. Dig in it like you would for hidden treasure. Amen. Amen. Pray for us. The preachers, the teachers, don't be lethargic. Don't be apathetic. Don't say, well, it don't matter. It does matter. The day you think it don't matter, you're prey target for the enemy. You need God's Word. Amen. We need a personal study of the Word of God. We need to have it preached to us over and over and over again. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is the food that nourishes our soul. It's the weapon that fights off the howling and prowling wolves. Amen. Let me close with words from our Lord's mouth. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 15. We looked at this when we studied through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. By the way, Brother Steve said that he said he went through the weapons, the spiritual armor twice, that he might go through that again sometime. And I know what he's saying that for. It's not just so that You don't have to study because I'm sure he'll input study just like he has the other times. But what? Why would you go over it again? Because you feel like there's a need for it. There's a need. Listen, the Word of God's not just junk food. The Word of God is necessary nutrients. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 15. Here's the words of our Lord. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Amen. Ravening wolves. Be careful what you watch on YouTube, Facebook, even what you listen to on the radio or television or any other media. Be careful what you listen to. Amen. Be careful and pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God and have your Bible ready and study those things. Amen. We have a priceless treasure. Be alert. Be there. Amen. I'll just throw this out. While I'm here and sort of dabbling with us, be careful because it seems to me like it may be getting easier for us to miss church when we don't have to miss church.
Yes, right.
Be careful. I'm just saying, be careful. I'm not fussing at you. Amen. But I'm saying, be careful because when we slip, then the enemy might slip in. Amen. Don't neglect it. Amen. Be there. Pray for the church. Invite others to attend. Be faithful yourself. Ask God to protect us. Ask God to guide us. Amen. Ask God to lead us in the way that we ought to go. Look around and look at all these little children in our church. We're blessed with little children. We're blessed with them. I bragged on them Friday night. They was really good. It's different and they was all quiet. And back yonder it would have been noisy. We was in the fellowship, not the main fellowship hall, but in the one with the hard floor, and it could have got noisy, but it wasn't. And they're quiet today. Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But you look at these little children, and they need sound doctrine, not just to have been here in the past. They need sound doctrine to be here right now. And they need sound doctrine to be here in the future. The only way that's going to happen. Listen, how do these churches get a pastor in that don't even believe the Bible himself? You know why? A lot of times it's because they don't know the Bible themselves enough to even ask him about what he believes. Amen. They go about it the world's way. Well, let's just get a resume. Let's see what school he went to. Like that matters. Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet. I say, look around, look at these children. We want them to have a place they can grow up to hear the Word of God. Know the truth. I say, it won't just happen. We have to make it happen. Amen. We have to make it happen. We have to get in the Bible ourselves, study the Bible ourselves, and ask God to help us keep the right way and keep it going. Amen. Amen. I don't know how to give an invitation other than to say if you need to come, they're going to come and we'll get a song. If you need to come pray, I want to give you encouragement to do so. Pray for each of us that God would help us. Pray for those that have gone off. I'd like to see them come back. I really would. When the prodigal son came home, there's rejoicing. Amen. God could still do that. But pray that God protect us from the influence of wrong, perverted teaching. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it's been technical in some ways and redundant in some ways, but it's burning in my heart about the importance, not just for me to see it, but for every single person, not just for the parents to see it, especially parents, oh Lord, not just for the parents to see it, but for every one of us to see how important it is that we keep the preaching of the Word of God the most important thing. That we keep that in front of us and pray for that and guard that, and that we study our own Bible, our own selves. We know what the Bible says. That we can affirm the truth or we can reject it. Have your way, Lord, we pray. I know I'm human, meaning that I'm not perfect. I'm fallible. I can make mistakes. I can say things wrong. Lord, guard me from that. And when I do, help me to recognize it. Help me to be careful to make it right. And you'd receive glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, you obey the Lord.